The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The White Sox hired Tony La Russa.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You know who's furious?
Who?
Whitey Herzog. He's furious.
You know, when I heard the La Russa news, it made me start thinking about managers of my youth. A lot of them are gone now. Think about Leo Durocher, who managed the Cubs when I was a kid. So I think about Walter Alston and Al Lopez and Sparky Anderson and all these guys. Tony La Russa. 76.
Yeah, but you know what?
What?
Tommy Lasorda is still with us.
Lasorda, yes, he is.
And Whitey Herzog Lasorda is
still with us.
And Bill Verdon is apparently still with us, and I wouldn't have known that. Good for them. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, baseball considers punishing Justin Turner, NBA players push back on a December start, and we got some Falcons football on Thursday night.
God help us.
But we begin today with the Chicago White Sox indeed hiring Tony La Russa to be their manager. La Russa is 76 years old, and he last managed in 2011 when he won the World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals. The White Sox are a young, improving team that made the playoffs this year and then fired Rick Renteria afterwards. Wilbon, this is your city. I know you're a Cubs guy, but it's your city. Do you like this hire?
You know, Tony, I do. I mean, I realize, you know, you can be old and you can reminisce and you can say, oh, wonder, what about the good old days? I mean, the Bulls hired somebody. Maybe Phil Jackson's available. Tony La Russa's uniform is waiting. You know, the White Sox wear those uniforms that people said look like softball uniforms with the horizontal stripes.
Yep.
They wear them on Sunday, at least at home on Sunday. Tony La Russa was in those. And, Tony, I guess what the White Sox are thinking, and Jerry Reinsdorf specifically, who really regretted his general manager later firing Tony La Russa because they had success with him. I guess what he's thinking is we got these young guys and they need a firm senior hand. They need somebody with some experience to guide them and get the best out of them. Is it a gamble? Yeah, but everything's a gamble when you hire a coach or a manager. So is this more extreme than that? I don't know.
So the headline, of course, is that La Russa is 76 years old. And Jeff Passan of ESPN is reporting that it has ruffled some feathers within the White Sox organization, and some employees are afraid that he will not be able to connect to younger players. And I'm saying this as somebody in my 70s, that when you work around younger people, which I don't in my attic, but I do if I ever get back to the studio, when you work around younger people, it keeps you a lot more current. You are open to more things than if you are only around people your own age. I mean, the two guys running for president right now, one of them 74, one of them 77. I think that's a harder job than managing the White Sox. So I think I'm rooting for Tony La Russa in this particular regard. And I've heard the same things you have about Reinsdorf, that is his big regret.
Yeah.
That they fired La Russa, then he won in Oakland, then he won in St. Louis, and Reinsdorf wants to complete the circle and bring him back.
Tony, it's fascinating. It's going to be worth watching, like, all the time and every day. And so those 9 years, like, how far has baseball evolved in 9 years from 2000 to 11? I don't think Tony La Russa would be removing a pitcher who'd given up two singles if he was in the World Series. I don't think Tony La Russa would do that. But how much has the game evolved, and how much does La Russa have to evolve to stay current, as you said, and to gain the trust of those younger players and bench coaches and bullpen people? What does he have to do? Or does he already have it because he's Tony La Russa?
It's a good team, so it's sort of risky because they're on the trajectory
up. Yeah, they are.
I mean, but it makes it very interesting to watch. I went to a dinner with him a couple of years ago, sat at the table with him, thought he was brilliant, totally brilliant.
Because he is.
So I'm happy for the move.
Yeah.
Happy for the move. We move now, we stay with baseball, but we move now to baseball's unhappiness with Justin Turner, which stems from Turner returning to the field for the postgame celebration, even though baseball officials specifically told him to stay in a clubhouse. And once on the field, they tried to get him to return inside. Turner had tested positive for coronavirus and at times pulled his mask down while on the field. Wilbon, what should baseball do to Turner?
Tony, this is hard, and I hate to suggest a sliding scale, but I think that may have to be the case. And Uber producer Matt Kelleher suggested to me this morning, he said, this could be like a hockey, like an NHL situation, where if somebody suffers a broken jaw, the offending party's out for like 3 weeks. If it's just, you know, he missed a day, then you bring him back. I part of me doesn't want to accept that, but it seems reasonable and logical. And if there are no consequences suffered by other people on that field when he was out there taking his mask off,
yeah.
If there are no
yeah.
consequences, I find it hard to say throw the book at him. But if there are, Tony, I wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah. So I've had 24 hours to think about this, and I was too easy and too equivocal on this yesterday because I found out a couple of things I didn't realize. One is that he's the player rep. That means he wrote the protocols. He sold the protocols to the guys on his team, and then he deliberately defied.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that makes it worse for me. He deliberately defied those protocols that he was involved in. And the other is that he's a free agent, and I wonder, did he say to himself, well, I'm not going to be back here anyway, so I'm just going to enjoy this to the degree that I can. I understand why the players want him out there, and I want to draw this distinction. There's an inherent risk for all players and everybody in the dugout during these times. Because the players aren't wearing masks in there. And he had this in the first inning and the third inning and the fifth inning along with the eighth inning, right? But they willingly take that risk. Who I don't think willingly takes that risk are the families on the field and the staff people on the field. And so I'm torn on this one as you are.
Yeah, Tony, the players, I can understand why. If you're a player and you say, wait a minute, I just spent all day, I was at the cage with Turner. We were in the dugout together, and nobody had a mask on. And so why am I going to feel differently an hour and a half later? And I can see why players would say, no, stop it. But again, it's the other people that didn't sign on for this that Turner could have put in danger, and that's what you have to assess. And is it result-based? Tony, it could be. Maybe it even should be.
I'll tell you this, Mike. In hindsight, I think baseball's very lucky that went six and the World Series was over. Because the next day, what if a bunch of people tested positive and they couldn't even play game seven? They couldn't, and that's a possibility. We're never going to know that because we're not looking back at that.
But, Tony, if there was a game seven, he wouldn't have been out there celebrating. So I think...
I understand,
I mean,
but more...
I think it's a moot point, but...
But as you say, in the dugout, everybody's exposed. All the players are
used
exposed
to each other. They are.
And willingly.
That's right. We may not be getting the NBA for Christmas after all, Tom. Chris Haynes of Yahoo reports a substantial faction of players, including stars, is pushing instead for January 18, Martin Luther King Day. The NBA estimates that the December start would be worth $500 million more to the league than a mid-January start. So, Tom, where do you see this ending up?
Yeah, I mean, I love these reports. I just wish somebody would tell me the names of all the players and all the stars that don't want to play. I mean, we assume LeBron because Danny Green said so, but how many others? I'd like to get some names. I'm going to quote Don Ohlmeyer. It's my favorite quote of all time. The answer to all your questions is money. If you read what Michelle Roberts said, basically what she's saying is, what are you going to give us if we agree to start on December 22nd.
Right.
And I think that's the critical issue here. What is the give back?
Tony, I agree. But again, let's start with the answer to all your questions is money. What about the $500 million? That's $250 million each. And if you start dividing that up among the $250 million for the players, and I know people like LeBron don't even care about the average, because the average of that for 450 players would be about $500,000, just less than $600,000 per person on average. Obviously, LeBron's amount would be much more than that, and it still wouldn't be anything to him. But, Tony, I think as I try to listen to what players are talking about, first of all, this is very new. There hasn't been an official player/union response to this yet. Not yet.
That's right.
There will have to be one. The players are going to have to sit and think, okay, what am I assessing here? How much money does it mean, to me? Not to the union, to me personally. And am I ready to play? What's the physical risk involved? And the owners have to look and say, okay, Tony, the $500 million becomes more real when you look at all the revenue streams that won't be in effect, like ticket sales and parking lot fees and hot dogs sold and jerseys sold in arena. Those things aren't going to be there because they're not going to be any fans for the beginning of the season, maybe all of it.
Yeah. Well, let me get to this. If I played on Miami and I played on the Lakers, I wouldn't want to play. It's too soon.
Agree.
Maybe if I played on Boston, maybe if I played on Denver, I wouldn't want to play. But this is worth talking about. Eight teams haven't played since March. Six more teams haven't played since August 13th, and eight more teams haven't played since the end of August. So 22 teams out of 30 are going to get 3.5 months off.
Yep.
And if you start in mid-January and you got to get to 72 games so you don't have to give back TV money, you're going to have to go a lot of back-to-backs. You're going to have to go 3-4. There's an interesting thing in the Ringer that they want to, you know, compress the travel so that you might be playing series.
Like
sounds three
smart.
In a row against
like
the team.
That.
That'd be fun. That'd be like the playoffs, wouldn't it? That'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Let's take a break. Coming up, who should Boston miss more, Tom Brady or Mookie Betts?
Easy answer for me. And as the Steelers and Ravens prepare to meet each other, we compare their two coaches.
I wanted to go back into the whole thing with Kevin Cash and Mookie Betts, but we're being faded out. I'll do it some other day. I'm going to come back at you, just so you know.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for toss-up. Caesars has me as the betting favorite once again. What's first?
Toss-up. Who should Boston miss more, Tom Brady or Mookie Betts?
Well, there's no question that Tom Brady accomplished more in Boston than Mookie Betts. He won 6 Super Bowls. Nobody's going to do that again. Mookie Betts won 1 World Series. And I think the people in Boston at this point are even rooting for Tom Brady to do well this year because they've liked him over such a long period of time. But, and here's the big but, letting Mookie Betts go was catastrophically stupid.
It was.
Just for money. Because the next 10 years with the Dodgers, a team that has money and spends money, he could be there in October. And every single time he's there in October, it's a slap in the face of the ownership and the management of the Red Sox.
Tony, I agree with every word you said. But I'm going back to the beginning. Tom Brady, nobody's ever going to win that. Not in the lifetimes of people who are now entertaining this question in New England who are part of Pat's Nation. The answer is Tom Brady. And but look, it could be analogized to saying, who would you miss more if you were the Yankees franchise? The Yankees franchise, Babe Ruth or Aaron Judge? Yes, I know one guy is current and can do more,
but
it's Babe F. Ruth. Who do I miss more? Michael Jordan, retired and gone, or somebody who might come in and be spectacular for a couple of years and might win one? No, the answer is the icon. The answer is the person that you're never going to see his like again.
That's exactly right. But he's not going to be right in your face for the next 10 years like Mookie Betts is possibly going to be. Next.
Toss-up. Which coach would you like on Sunday? Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh?
So my answer to this is, Wilbon, I'll let you pick the one you want, and I'll have to take the other one.
That's right.
Because they're both terrific. Mike Tomlin has had no losing seasons. John Harbaugh has had one losing season. Tomlin has a 65% winning percentage. Harbaugh has 62%. Each has won a Super Bowl. Tomlin has been to two Super Bowls. I mean, Tomlin's been luckier in the sense he's had Roethlisberger the whole way. But Harbaugh has a guy who won a Super Bowl for him in Flacco, and he's got the MVP in Lamar Jackson. I mean, if I had to choose, and you know you've heard me say this for many years, Tomlin is such a good quote that I would probably choose Tomlin.
That'd be great as a sports writer, but, you know, that's over for you now. Let me just mention, Tony, the reason why we're talking about this is these two guys are meeting for the 25th time as opposing head coaches. I mean, nobody's met that many times. Now, in the Super Bowl era, if we go back, obviously, Halas v. Lambeau is something that happened much more often, like nearly twice as much. I think 48 times they met. But currently, Super Bowl era, these two guys. Tony, I wouldn't even want the first pick. I wouldn't want the pressure of it. I'd just say, Tony, take the first pick. I'm going to take the other guy happily, right? And you would take them probably for another few years and almost, other than Belichick, over everybody else. Andy Reid would be in the discussion. Sure. Everybody else playing.
And both of them were surprise hires, and both of them have benefited by stable organizations.
Yep.
That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Giants and the Chargers send players home after positive tests.
Cam Newton may be without one of his big weapons for a while, and he can't afford to miss any weapons, can he?
By the way, the score right now is Harbaugh 13 and Tomlin 11.
Okay.
And that's even really close.
It is.
I mean, it's hard to separate them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 29th birthday, Trey Burton. He's a tight end on the Colts now, but he played quarterback in high school and was recruited to Florida as a quarterback. He ended up playing mostly fullback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end for the Gators. His highlight was breaking Tim Tebow's record by scoring 6 touchdowns in 1 game, 5 running, and 1 by catching a pass. Burton signed as a free agent with the Eagles and has played for them, the Bears, and the Colts. 7 seasons in the NFL, 142 receptions, 13 touchdowns. All this is marginally interesting, but it isn't the reason we're doing Burton's birthday. We're doing it because Trey Burton is the guy who threw the Philly special touchdown pass to Nick Foles to help win the Super Bowl over New England when both he and Foles were on the Philadelphia Eagles. And I guarantee you, Burton will never have to pay for a cheesesteak in Philadelphia.
Well, he'd have to pay for a steak in Chicago because he was signed by the Bears to a 4-year deal worth $32 million. Of course, he only played 2 years and then was cut. But, you know, he had a pretty good first year, really good first year with 54 catches, and he was productive. But, you know, somebody else is wearing 80 now in the Chicago uniform playing tight end. I think Jimmy Graham.
Happy birthday, though. 54
birthday.
Catches in 1 year.
That was a good season.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, Madison Bumgarner. On this day 6 years ago, the San Francisco Giants ace starting pitcher came out of the bullpen to throw 5 scoreless innings of relief in Game 7 of the World Series and save the victory over the Kansas City Royals. This was just 2 days after pitching a complete game shutout over the Royals. You think Kevin Cash has a quick hook? Bruce Bochy did not. Bochy knew where his bread was buttered. He managed Bumgarner through 3 World Championships. In this one, Bumgarner was beastly. He went 21 innings, gave up 1 run, had 17 strikeouts, a 0.43 earned run average, won 2 games and saved 1. That's almost incomparable. And it won Bumgarner the World Series MVP. Bumgarner is no longer the pitcher he was then. His last four seasons, three with the Giants and one with Arizona, he's just 20-29 with a 3.82 ERA. But what he did in the 2014 World Series defines postseason pitching greatness.
Tony, it does, and you don't have it for forever. And you would hope your manager of all people would let you be out there and do what you do and do what you do for your team and for him. And Bumgarner's run was spectacular. Tony, it may have come to an end already, though. He was 1-4 with the ERA of 6.5 with Arizona this season. I don't know if you think he can get it back. Can he have another secondary late career run?
I don't know, but you've taken shot after shot at Kevin Cash. I'm happy about that.
I got weeks.
Happy trails to Christian McCaffrey returning for the Panthers tonight. Yes, there is a Thursday night game, and no, it isn't much of a draw. It's the largely faceless Carolina Panthers against the awful, choking Atlanta Falcons, who really need to keep Arthur Blank off the sideline. The game just got a little less compelling, if possible, because all-pro running back Christian McCaffrey won't be activated. McCaffrey's going to continue to rest the high ankle sprain he suffered during week two. Interestingly, the Panthers were 0-2 when McCaffrey went down, and they've been 3-2 since, in large part because running back Mike Davis has averaged over 100 yards from scrimmage in the first four games of McCaffrey's absence. Carolina has done okay with new coach Matt Rhule and new quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Atlanta finds new and humiliating ways to lose every week. Wilbon, I assume you will be glued to this game.
You know, Tony, I probably will be. I mean, what, there's no other sports on tonight to watch for me. You know, I'm sure there's some collegiate something or other, but I will watch this. And Carolina was 3-0 without McCaffrey. They won their first three games without him, and they lost to the Bears, and they lost subsequently again. But, you know, it's showing they're able to evolve and develop other players in his absence, and that is pretty good for Matt Rhule, isn't it?
So I feel the same way you do. We had that glut of games. We had basketball and hockey and baseball, and every night
we
could go from game to game.
Now we're
in the NFL and maybe college football, depending on what happens.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, whatever's on, that's what I'm watching tonight.
I'm signed up.
Yeah, no errors today. Let's go to the big finish if we could. The New York Giants and Los Angeles Chargers both had an offensive lineman test positive. Your thoughts?
The players and close contacts are quarantined, Tony. You hope it doesn't spread beyond that. Julian Edelman had knee surgery. He will miss at least this week's game against the Bills. That's a big loss, isn't it?
Well, if you have surgery and you're only going to miss one game, what kind of magic surgery is
that? Well, at least.
Julian Edelman is a great, great all-purpose player. For many years with the Patriots, he leads them with 21 receptions, but you go over the middle, Mike, you get knocked out.
Yeah, he might be used up.
You get knocked out.
Hell of a career.
Your Big Ten rejected Nebraska's attempt to replace Wisconsin with FCS school. I guess that's D2. UT Chattanooga, is that the right call?
We're going to stick with the Big Ten schedule. One school, they're not listening. The AD, maybe the football coach. I don't get me started. Jags quarterback Gardner Minshew has multiple fractures and strained ligaments in his right thumb. That's significant. His throwing hand, right?
It's his throwing hand. He's on the bye. Let's see if he can get it back, or it's Mike Glennon. Last one, Europa League back in action today. Anything stand out?
Shakhtar! Jose Mourinho and Tottenham lost to Antwerp 1-0. Respect for Antwerp, Tony. I'm talking to you.
Shakhtar O'Neal. We're out of time. Try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Tracy Callahan, shout out.